The following program is a classic from the Compassion Radio Archive featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson. Norm passed from this life on April the 10th of this year. This broadcast was first presented on the radio in October of 2010.
Let's face it, North Korea has a lousy reputation. The last Stalinist regime, the Hermit Kingdom, the Axis of Evil. So why would anybody go to North Korea, the charter member of the Axis of Evil, if they could get in? I'll tell you why we went to North Korea. We love North Korea, and secondly, the living Christ is already there.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast, celebrating 70 plus years of sharing the light of the gospel in some of the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Thursday. What comes to mind when you think of North Korea? A place of isolation? The world's youngest dictator? How about that ill-advised trip taken by former basketball star Dennis Rodman recently? It is indeed a complex place and mysterious, to say the least. Many call North Korea the impossible state. Well, it was not too long ago that Norman Cher made a trip to this faraway land, and what they saw there was absolutely captivating. Today, you're going to hear the first of a two-part series we're calling Inside North Korea. Here's Norm.
My wife Cher joins me today as we present the first of two programs on our recent trip to North Korea. Cher, a lot of people don't realize that the United States is still technically at war with North Korea.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
We think of it being over, but it isn't.
It isn't. And we have, of course, a very problematic relationship with North Korea. We have for some time now. Under our current administration, efforts are being made to try to improve the situation, but it's been difficult. Why would people like us go to North Korea?
Because they've fallen in love with the North Korean people. I think that for us, any place where people are under oppression, where people are in great need, where there's some kind of suffering, no matter what the cause of it is, for us, the immediate thought is, what if it were our family? What if it were us? What if we were trying to live boldly, courageously, and godly through these situations? What kind of help might we need? And I think our heart just goes out to touch the people. Now, it's not always that we can change the needs. Sometimes we can provide a little bit of cease of suffering, but never can we solve the problem. But we can let them know that we're there, that there are people still in the world for them, praying for them, caring for them, loving them. And it feels different to have somebody hug on you than to just write you a letter and say that they love you. And our hugs don't go all that far, but we spread them as far as we can.
That's right. We do what we can. I probably should also add here that we have a long relationship with Korean people.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that a boundary line has been drawn at the 38th parallel, separating the northern part of the peninsula from the southern part of the peninsula, doesn't really change the fact that these are Korean people. And going back to my father's day, the years of my father's ministry, we have a very long history of involvement with the Korean people, and we do love them.
And we know so many people who have family split between North Korea and South Korea, and we have seen them weep and weep over the hardships that their families bear and that they can't see them. And so they've drawn us in by the heartstrings very securely.
Yeah, that is very true. Let me just say this, again, to put this discussion in perspective. We have been to North Korea on two previous occasions, had a third opportunity to go a couple of years ago, and were not able to go, or this would have been our fourth trip to North Korea. This is truly an amazing thing, and it's not due to any virtue on our part. God, in a very odd and special way, has blessed us with giving us an opportunity to travel to what is the most closed, isolated and in a strange way kind of self-reliant country in the world, and yet we've been able to go three times.
By invitation.
By invitation. Mm-hmm. And so this was our third trip to North Korea, and the purpose of the trip, what would you say about the purpose of this trip, honey?
Well, I think in the back of the minds of the small group of us that went, that it was definitely a prayer venture.
Yes.
To be in places where we know that the name of God has not been spoken for many, many years, and to pray, to prayer walk, to try to be light in a dark place, praying desperately every day for God to give us that ability to shine His light. No matter how we did it, with a smile, with a handshake, with a hug, with a gift, with a whatever, that there would be something that people could see different about us, that we could lift Jesus up and that He could draw all men to Him. But I think there was also the real need to understand, to look the people in the eye and see that they're not strange people, to see that they're not communist crazies, or that they're not so oppressed that they have no spirit, that they have no life left in them, that they're real people with real families and real need for work and real need to clothe their children and real need for schooling. And they're just us in a different form, and we need to know that, because we can't care about them if they're odd alien people.
The tremendously sad thing about North Korea, well, there are a number of things that are very sad about it, but certainly one of the things is the incredible repressive nature of the North Korean government, that literally isolates, that keeps the world out of North Korea in the sense of any kind of cultural penetration or political penetration of any kind, so that people in that nation, even the most privileged members of the kind of upper crust, those who are trusted, and there are not very many of them who are, but who are implicitly trusted by the North Korean government, have almost no sense of what the world is like outside the borders of North Korea. And that is by design. By the lack of information that's permitted into the country, the keeping out of the internet, of radio, of television transmission. Television is very limited. It's provided only for a very few. In fact, radio is permitted only with pre-tuned radios within North Korea. So they can't even listen.
Which means that there are only two or three stations that the radio will offer you.
And they get, you know, just this party line, in a sense, kind of old-fashioned Stalinist communist propaganda. It really skews the vision that North Korea, and even the brightest and the most sophisticated of them, would have of the rest of the world, unless they are among the privileged few who have had the opportunity briefly to travel outside the country.
Because they were either political appointees or business people for the government, but they've been sent by the government to another country. Those are very few, but all of those few who have gone are beginning to make a difference. We saw more cracks in the armor this time than we had before. There was more Western-sounding music. We went to the giant production in the arena to see the, I don't even know how to describe what...
They call it the Mass Games.
Yes.
But it's not so much games.
It's a performance that is just beyond imagination. But within
about 100,000 people involved.
Involved in the performance.
In the performance.
Right.
Yeah.
But we had seen the similar thing before in the indoor arena, and all of the music was more Asian-sounding and very militaristic. This time there was more Western-sounding, more melodic, sweeter sounding things, and some Western costumes that came into the programming that we had not seen before. And on our television this time, in the tourist hotel, we were able to see BBC and a couple of other, one of the other European news channels, which before there was just absolutely nothing for the tourists either, except the propaganda stations.
Our listeners should know that when you mentioned the hotel where we stayed, This hotel is a high-rise hotel. Mm-hmm. It's over 40 stories high, and it sits out in the middle of an island in the middle of this immense river that runs right through the heart of the capital city of Pyongyang. And they have isolated all foreigners into this hotel.
But the interesting thing is that one of our ladies that were on the trip with us noticed that every time the cleaning people came in to the room to clean, they turned on the television to get one of the foreign television stations. So just little things like that allow people a glimpse into the world, and it has to cause questions as to whether what they've been told from day one of their lives in the nursery schools is exactly accurate.
Great insights once again on today's Compassion Radio. Just wanted to sneak in really quick to say thank you. Yes, thank you for your prayer support and urgently needed financial support of this unique Boots on the Ground radio ministry. It would mean so much to hear from you today. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or give online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for your support of Compassion Radio. Now, back to the program.
Just listening to them talk about how they liberated Seoul when North Korea invaded South Korea, it's such an interesting experience to hear it all from their point of view. And, of course, that's all their children have heard.
That's right.
Things are beginning to change. Now, I don't know whether that's even necessarily good, that materialism and Western thinking is creeping in. Might it be better if that didn't and simply the gospel were to be able to creep in without that? But it is beginning to show cracks.
Yeah, it really is. Let me say also, and we don't use this word overseas really very often, but when you and I travel, and especially when we travel to places like North Korea or Iran or some of the other really difficult places in the world, we travel as what we call ourselves spies for hope. And what we mean by that, in case anyone listening out there doesn't understand our use of the word spies, it simply means that we are looking between the cracks and, under the covers and in all of these strange hidden places for evidences that God is at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that He is. One of the things that typifies Compassion Radio is this rather core conviction, and it's a strong conviction, that in every isolated corner of the world, in every place where freedom is denied, in every place where there is not access to a wide range of information, or where the church is persecuted and efforts are made to eradicate it from the nation, that it makes no difference, that God is there, and He is in every place, no matter how difficult, calling out a people for His name. He is building His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when we go, we are looking for signs of the building of Christ's kingdom, work that He is doing in those places, so that we know that when we show up with our visas in hand and we go through immigration and all of that fol-de-rol involved in entering a difficult nation, we know that Christ, the living Christ, is already there. He is doing His work, and that we are simply privileged to have a part, a small part, in what He is already doing. He is the initiator of everything that is happening. He is in control. He is in charge. So we use that little phrase. I think it's kind of a catchy little phrase, and it does describe what we're looking for. We travel as spies for hope. We had an interesting experience getting to North Korea this time. On previous trips, we have flown directly from Beijing, the capital of China, on Air Koryo, which is the North Korean airline. We've flown directly to Pyongyang, the capital city of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we did not do that. We flew on China Airlines up to a city called Shenyang, which is a city of several million people, and there are so many of them in China. But we flew to Shenyang, which is up in Manchuria. That's the area of China that is north of the Korean Peninsula. And then we caught a plane there, an Air Koryo flight, the North Korean airline, and we flew from Shenyang to Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, about a two-hour flight. Whereas before, when we have arrived in North Korea, we have been part of a VIP delegation. We've been received by a small group of government-related people. That was not true on this trip, and I'm glad it wasn't because we were looking for a different experience. We were treated as normal visitors to the country in a kind of tourist classification, although tourism is not a big deal in North Korea, believe me.
No, and the fact that only 1,000 Americans a year are allowed in as tourists, it doesn't make it really normal either.
We did find out that we were the first Americans admitted under this classification this year. So that was an interesting experience. But in the midst of all of the prohibitions involved in entering North Korea, like several other countries in the world that are to some degree highly restrictive, you cannot bring a computer with you. You cannot bring
a cell phone
with you. There are all kinds of electronic devices.
Certain video cameras are not allowed in.
Yeah, that are not permitted. You cannot bring literature about North Korea. You can't bring a book. I had all kinds of books about North Korea with me.
You can't bring a guidebook, even.
Couldn't bring them into the country, not even a guidebook, not even magazines. You're not supposed to bring Time or Newsweek or any other Western magazines. And it's all a part of the effort of the government to keep the people isolated and shielded from outside influence. After you go through this process of being examined for all of these things, then you are permitted into the country, and then we finally saw a real smiling face, and it was, in my case, one of our minders. And we're not going to mention names, the names of our minders, because we had significant conversations with them, and we don't want to, maybe we shouldn't even say that much. We were met with the friendly face of one of our minders, and he turned out to be a real special guy that we got along with very well, along with the other minder as well. And I think God was very helpful in that regard, that we were able to have a friendly relationship. But then we were put on the bus, went into the hotel, and the process of being supervised for your entire stay, right down to whether or not you're permitted to take a picture of anything or anybody. You must ask the question, may I take a picture of that person? May I take a picture of that building? May I take a picture of that farm or of that whatever?
Yes, it's not a categorical thing. Okay, we are in this location. Yes, you may take pictures. It's we are in this location. You ask me about every picture that you take.
That's right.
But I have to say that in a way, I really respect the minders. It's very easy for us to, you know, start a conversation and think that we're getting along very well with them and let down our guard and think that they're not really doing anything. But we were brought up short several times by things that were said and then the questions that followed and phone numbers taken and information taken. And as friendly as they were, you have to respect the fact that they do their job, too. They're very careful not to deviate from the plan. If you want to see something different, they have to get permission. Although they were incredibly friendly and we had some amazing conversations with them, they were very conscientious about the job that they had to do, and we had to be conscientious about the things that we said and did. So
they exercise an authority over the
visitor. So as not to cause any harm for them by talking about things that we shouldn't talk about in front of them and making them responsible for knowing that information.
Yeah, that's right. I visited a highly restricted country not long ago, and I remember the experience of having an American with a camera who entered every room, walked into every situation, every meeting with every person, with the shutter of the camera clicking. And I remember thinking to myself in a way that I had never really quite realized before how offensive that can be. And of course, we're talking about ourselves as Americans and the impression that we make in countries where, let's face it, whenever you're visiting another country, you're there as a guest. And I remember thinking to myself, if I had people approaching me with their cameras clicking, with those shutters going, before they ever even looked at me face to face, eye to eye, before they ever smiled, before they ever asked a question, before there was ever any human contact, and all I was the subject of a clicking camera, I would be offended. That cannot happen in North Korea.
No. But we were able to have some, while in country, some very touching conversations with people.
That's right. I think we'll talk a little bit more about that on our next visit with regard to our trip to North Korea. And I hope our listeners will tune in as we talk about the substance of our trip, our visit to the DMZ, the feelings that we had, and the opportunities that God gave us. I think you'll enjoy the program. Don't miss it as we talk to you again about North Korea on Compassion Radio. Well, Cher, it's good to have you with me today. I want to talk just briefly about our listeners. They're pretty extraordinary.
I think so.
And the people who have caught the vision for supporting projects that we get involved in, these are frontline projects. These aren't the normal, typical projects that many Christian radio ministries are involved in. These are the kinds of projects that require visionary thinking. Our listeners, who become donors and participants with us, have the capacity to see beyond the immediate future and what is into what should be and what will be. And that's really extraordinary, don't you think?
It really is. Although we have gotten to witness in many situations, we didn't know for sure that we were going to be able to actually bring the gospel to open the door for the Holy Spirit to work and the Lord to guide people in. Praise the Lord, Norm, we did have our listeners who stepped out.
My friend, be a frontliner. Step out, be a visionary, and change the world.
You've been listening to part one of a two-part classic broadcast from the Compassion Radio Archives featuring the late Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson that originally aired in October of 2010. What a legacy. Norm is greatly missed by so many of us. With that in mind, please continue to keep Cher in your prayers as she goes through this challenging transition period. Bram's back in studio with us here. Tell our friends why we're keeping on with the project that we started in July.
There's a reason why we decided to carry this one over, and it's two parts. One is we managed to fund the first year of pastor work there in Ukraine because of the generous giving of our partners. So we're thrilled about that. But here's the thing. The conflict's not going anywhere, and it is exactly the kind of project that we keep stumbling into this month. I mean, All About Uganda was all about conflicts. There are probably going to be some projects we do in the future with people that are actively doing things on the ground there, but they're not ready yet. But Ukraine is going to continue to be a sore spot in Europe. It's going to continue to be an opportunity that's ripe for action and for results. It's still a dangerous hot spot, and I can't think of anybody who deserves to get a little more support than Oleg and the folks at New Life Community there in Kyiv. The whole hope community there in the war zone of eastern Ukraine is essential, and we could send more pastors there if we were able to fund them. Maybe building a new orphanage, because they've got two or three buildings they actually use as orphanages there now. I want to see Oleg and his team succeed like they've never succeeded before, and so I want to focus again on what's happening in eastern Ukraine, kind of like we've done other parts of the year with our Bibles for China campaign or other things where we've seen a real response that's been very positive, and there are more opportunities to get more Bibles in places. Of course, we'll keep doing that. Ukraine is like that right now. There are so many opportunities to really reach new people, Russian people, Ukrainian people for Jesus, and start new churches throughout that region of the world that is one of the most secularized places on the planet. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
It does. It does. And Bram, I understand that we're going to continue with our very special premium offer DVD for this month, a film that's just wildly popular. It's amazing. And I know there's a really good reason why you chose it, too.
War Room is a great film. It goes right to the core of what it means to be a powerful and effective Christian. And it's a great tale, but it's also a very true story. Whenever God's people discover the power of prayer, things start happening. Why? Because God starts laying on the hearts of the people who are willing to pray the things that He wants prayed. And think about this. If God wants something done, he tends to inspire his people to pray for those things so that they can work in tandem together, in cooperation. And this story, War Room, is all about what it means to go to spiritual warfare and suit up for battle.
For your special gift of $50 or more, we'd love to send you, on DVD or Blu-ray, the powerful and highly successful theatrical release of War Room. Order yours today, and thank you so much for standing with us. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.